Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows, games sometimes. Today, actually.
Oh, yeah.
My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me is always my co-host, Nicholas Mason.
I'm here.
What do you think of my new intro? Just
slightly shorter.
Slightly shorter.
Gives us time for more content.
More faffing about, I feel.
Absolutely.
Gives us a bit of a leeway.
Mm-hmm. You can take a sip from that water if you want.
This is tea from my favorite mug. I know you hate this mug. It's my favorite mug, Mason. Mm. It's a double-decker bus mug.
It's a little
mug.
Double-decker bus,
it's a
yes.
gift from a student. I throw most of it out, but not this. Not true.
I was going to say, is that thematically appropriate to you in any way?
Nah. It's just fun. It's a fun mug.
You didn't teach briefly in England?
I did, actually, but I don't think they knew that.
All right.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Maybe.
I've forgotten
maybe
so much.
Maybe that's because we're in a simulation. Maybe that's a clue. You're like, they didn't. I taught in England, but they didn't. But when I was in Melbourne, they gave me the red pill.
Mason, we've got some bad news up top.
Oh, no.
Unless, I mean, this only affects some people, I guess. We've got some bad news for a small amount of people.
Okay, then.
We're postponing the live shows that we were doing in Sydney.
That's true,
this
has gone out to stuff's come up, so...
Who've bought tickets. Basically, Andrew Levin's deadbeat dad. No. He's a great bloke. He's a top bloke. He organised some live shows in November, 5 of them for Planet Broadcasting. But because of some bunch of stuff that's happened, it's been happening with me and Claire. We're moving in November, moving house.
Decided you're going to replace her teeth yourself.
That's right, exactly. It's going to be a DIY job. Yeah, she's got a whole lot of dental work coming up because... She smashed her front teeth out. That was the whole thing. I'm going overseas, it looks like, in a couple of weeks. So it's a bloody nightmare. And we want to do it properly. So we thought we'll push it back.
We'll push it back.
Mason's still going to go, though. If you bought a ticket, he'll be in an empty venue.
That's right.
On stage. Yeah, no. So if you have bought a ticket, that there's full refunds. Mm-hmm. Also, there are some interstate shows coming up for some Planet Broadcasting shows. Filthy Casuals is doing one.
They're doing one in Sydney, yeah.
In Sydney in December. And Do Go One is also doing
Brisbane.
One in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
They're both coming up. So if you go to the Planet Broadcasting website, there's still some stuff coming up. So yeah, sorry for all those people who bought tickets or are planning on coming. The people have been really understanding,
That's true.
Which was good. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good, isn't it, Mason, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, huh?
Right. Mason, you know what else is good?
What is good?
The
what a
Black
segue.
Black Panther Trailer 2
so good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Now, we'd love to talk about it at length, but we already talked about it at length.
There's a little video.
But I'm trying some different YouTube trailer breakdown videos because one man breaking down trailers all day, every day tends to
drive one mad.
Insane. Uh-huh. So there's going to be a variety from
I hadn't noticed.
No. it definitely takes its toll. But, I mean, it's not a real job, is it? So what am I complaining
it's true,
about?
Yeah. You know, it also takes
coal
a little
mining.
Grave digging. Yeah. If you got a spade and you're covered in dirt, that's worse.
Yeah, but even with grave digging, you get a mate and then you're doing half the
that's
grave
true.
Digging.
That's true.
So
that's
very true. How it works. Yeah.
What about before you do your little videos,
sure.
we cover you in dirt and hand you a spade?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, then you'll
just to balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll link that below. It's like a 10 or 12 or 13 minute video where we talk about Black Panther trailer, some things you may have missed and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and some
yeah.
story points.
Let me tell you, just short summary. Looks great.
Yeah.
Music's great.
Yep.
Looks like it may be a bit... It looks like it may be a bit Marvel Phase 1 in the sense that it's probably The final battle is probably Black Panther fighting a slightly different Black Panther.
Which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, but maybe not, though. Maybe this is because I feel like Michael B. Jordan's character might be headed towards a redemption, maybe.
Okay,
depending
sure,
on
yeah.
how many people he murders.
Yeah, right,
in
yeah.
Well,
Loki murdered a lot of people.
That's true.
And look how redemptioned he is.
He's so redemptioned. He's redemptioned up the wazoo.
Top 10 redemption stories. Top 10 redemptions,
that's true.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah. So I potentially maybe that is towards the end of the third act, and then they team up and they fight maybe Claw or another emerging...
a different Black Panther.
Third Black Panther, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very true. You know what I did? And I'm not normally on board with reaction videos.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about them.
No.
But what I did do is I watched... Because I watched the trailer, and then below is a whole bunch of reaction videos. And what I did watch is like reaction videos by like nerd channels where they're primarily African-American.
Okay.
Because I'm like... Like we've seen a million... We've seen a million movies with guys like us. Real cool guys.
Muscular men.
Really,
just like us.
Really pasty, greasy white dudes. And I'm like, I want to see what... Because this is a movie that's got a primarily African-American cast.
Yeah.
And they're the hero. They're not side characters and they're not, you know...
I'd like a bit of diversity in my African-American
that's right.
movies.
It's reverse racism. But I'm like, everybody's super hyped about this.
Yeah,
and
good.
I think that's really... I'm like, I'm on board with this. This is really good.
I think it's, if it's good, Mason,
yes.
then it'll probably make a lot of bloody money. Is what I'm saying.
That's true, yeah.
Because that's what a movie does that's good sometimes, unless you're Blade Runner.
That's then, true, yeah. Then it kind of...
But sometimes bad movies make lots of money also.
Why do you think that Blade Runner hasn't done that well?
I think it's primarily because the first one didn't do super well. It's got like a big cult following and the internet loves it.
Yeah.
But people are like, I don't really remember the first one, or I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I'll get around to it. You know, I think that's...
Do you think maybe they should have given it a different name?
Like what? Just call it 2049? Call it Black Panther.
Yeah, call it Black Panther. That'd work. You could call it Harry and Ryan.
Harry and
go on an adventure.
On a jaunt.
Yeah, that'd be good. But I don't know, like, because realistically you don't have to have seen the first one to enjoy
the second one. So,
all the backstory is pretty much contained in a block of text at the front.
Yeah, I think it's also that kind of Tron Legacy situation where it's like, I sort of remember the first one. I'm not really going to go in on this
one. But
again,
with that one, you didn't have to see the first one either. You just,
no. But it still didn't do well, is what I'm saying.
Literally in the trailer, Tron Legacy should have been like, hey, back in the day, Jeff Bridges got sucked into a computer. Now he's back, but then he disappeared again. Where is he? That's this movie. And with Blade Runner, it should have been like Harrison Ford was four robots.
He was sucked into a computer.
And then he disappeared. Where is he? What's going on? Like, and maybe that should have been in the trailer.
Yeah, you're right.
Some element.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they should have, you're right. Maybe they should have separated it more.
What if they'd advertise it with a different name and we all went, is that a Blade Runner sequel?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They could have called it like Nexus 9 or something like that.
Right. I don't know. Because, and I'm, you know what it also may have been? It also may have been people going, oh, Blade Runner 2049, I've never seen Blade Runner, and this looks good. I'll watch the first Blade Runner, and then I'll go into this one. And they watched, I don't know, 90 minutes of the first Blade Runner, and they're like, oh, I don't think this sequel's for me, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, that is also that is also entirely possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's the world we live in, mate.
Sure is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things aren't good. I hope this is good.
Okay, here we go.
Aquaman has finished filming.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a release date still of December 21st of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm really looking forward to this.
My man.
Yeah, that's it. It's James Wan, who's, we've talked about this. You okay, Mason? You weren't coughing before
dying.
The show. I'm glad you've saved all your coughs up for the podcast.
Me too. I had a big little bag of safety pins. Do you think that's an issue?
I don't know. Were they unclipped?
Yeah, they were unclipped.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But did you know, Mason, that Aquaman is releasing the same day as the Bumblebee movie?
I thought you were going to say, do you know the aqua in Aquaman stands for water?
What?
Because he's often in the water.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Same week as the Bumblebee movie.
Which has... They haven't filmed anything of that, right?
No, they're filming at the moment.
Oh, right, okay.
It's got... apparently Optimus Prime is going to be in it. Hayley Steinfeld...
Yeah, that's right.
...is in it. John Cena's in it. The poor man's, but the bigger man's Mark Wahlberg.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not... If I had to pick it out of these two, it's obviously going to be Aquaman.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that's going to be... you know, the way that the general audiences look at things. Yeah. Because even though the last Transformers movie made less money, it still made a depressingly large amount of money.
It didn't, though. That's so true, yeah. It still made most of the money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if people were like, listen, you can have Transformers box office, but bearing in mind it isn't as big as the previous Transformers box office.
Mm.
I wouldn't take it on principle. I would.
Yeah, I would take it. Not almost certainly. I would certainly take it.
Yeah.
So maybe one of those movies will move anyway. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a prime release time, though, because there's no Star Wars movie next December at this point.
Yeah, right.
Here's a prime release time for you, Mason.
Hello.
I've written down all my segues this week. Not true.
No, I haven't. I was going to say.
There's a new Punisher trailer.
If that had led into a fart, that would have been great. Here's a prime release date for you.
The new Punisher trailer was out. Did you see it?
I did not.
That's fine. You don't need to see it. You got to watch it anyway, right?
Yeah.
November 17th, which is also the same week as the Justice League film.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to watch?
Both?
Me too.
It'd be weird if we only picked one.
Yeah.
We live in a world of choices. We're allowed to watch both.
Yeah, so that's great. So good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yep. All around.
In
yes.
this trailer, yeah. Minigun or no minigun?
Can't remember. I don't.
You'd know.
I'd remember, wouldn't
you?
I don't remember then. No, okay. I don't. But good. It's got a release date. I thought they were going to push it back till next year.
Yeah,
so
same.
Obviously, it's not happening because it is happening now.
Yeah.
That's speaking of bloody pushing things back, Mason.
Oh no, here we go.
Written that one down. This isn't normally what we talk about, but I kind of want to touch on it briefly because I think I'm going to make a video on it.
Okay, great.
But I just want to get your thoughts on it. Visceral Games, which was a gaming company who made the great game Everything or Nothing, which we did for Caravan of Garbage.
But also Dead Space, right?
Dead Space 2, Dead Space 3, which wasn't super well received, but it was kind of, they microtransactioned it and they changed it.
Was it more or less the same game? Or
Not really. I think it was worse. Okay. I played 1 and 2, which I'm not a horror.
Did you still have that weird cutter thing where you could cut people's limbs off with it? Okay, great.
I played 1 and 2 and I'm not a horror game guy generally, but they're great. They're yep. really, like really interesting mechanics. And it was also one of the first games that I recall where there's no HUD, where you can see all your ammo's like, and your health is on your suit. And
that's
you can
true,
see
yeah.
It. Yeah, it was good. And instead of like aiming for the heads for the monsters, you got to dismember them.
That's true,
and
you
shoot off their head and nothing happens. But did you play it?
At your house briefly,
very good. Would you have a spooky
and
time?
Again, like a dutiful girlfriend, while you played it.
That also happened today when you turned up.
Yeah.
I literally said, I watched me jump to this car in the game,
And I'm like, oh, looks like you're having fun.
But they were working on a Star Wars game for EA.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be released next year. I thought that was the plan. It was got announced in 2013. But the team has been disbanded. Either let go or filtered among the company at EA. And EA have done this before. They've done this to a few other studios.
Didn't they do it? Hasn't Disney also done this exact same thing to the same person who's on this development team?
Amy Henning was on Uncharted 4 and got pushed off that.
Wasn't she also on Star Wars 1313, the previous?
Oh, maybe she was.
I think she was.
You might be right,
I think they've done this to her twice.
Ah, so this is... Okay, let me just double check that, but you might be right. But she's responsible for... a lot of what the first three Uncharted's are about.
Right,
and
okay.
Terrific games. Uh-huh. Heading Star Wars.
But yeah, so this was going to be an Uncharted-style Star Wars game.
Yes.
Do we know who the protagonist was or what side you're on? Or?
There's rumors, but this is what I'm kind of put together for, what was I going to say, for this video. I'm thinking of... And I'm reaching out to some people for some insider information. I've got a little bit of information, but I kind of want to.
Okay.
I kind of want to flesh it out a bit more. But what was your question though? I forgot because I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things at once.
The 13-13 thing.
13-13. That's right. Sorry. Let me just. I can't see it. That's not to say that it's not.
Right. Okay.
But this game did take elements of Star Wars 13-13 because it's basically Nathan Drake, but it's Star Wars.
Yeah. Right.
So this game has been pushed back indefinitely.
So cancelled.
Yeah. So I really hope not, because this is. Look, I'm really looking forward to Battlefront 2. And full disclosure, they're paying me to make a couple of videos, and I might be going over to play it or whatever. And if I make this video, maybe that will not happen anymore. But. I really wanted to see this. Like, I've been hanging out for this kind of stuff. There hasn't been a single-player Star Wars campaign game.
Since Dark Forces 2 or
something. Since Dark Forces 2. I mean, there's been Lego Star Wars, there's been mobile games, there's been Battlefront 1.
None of them count.
None of that I'm really interested in. Battlefront 2 I am 100%. I'm very interested in that. But yep. this is... I've been really looking forward to this, and I'm super bummed yeah. that it's going away. Well, that and my so the quote that they put was, this is from EA, to make a broader experience that allows for more variety and player agency, leading into the capabilities of the Frostbite engine and reimagining central elements of the game to give players a Star Wars adventure of greater depth and breadth to explore.
Doesn't make any... none of that means anything.
Well, from what I understand, they don't even know what direction they want to take it, and people are saying, are they going to just chuck it... full with loot boxes like they're doing with Battlefront 2,
now,
which they might be pulling back on.
Explain to me again what a loot box is, basically.
I'm not a gamer guy, so this is my understanding of it.
But you love Gamergate.
Yeah, I love Gamergate. Big fan. But it, so basically you can buy item, you can earn loot boxes in games, yep. in-game through in-game currency, but you can also buy them. And then you open them up and inside that might be like a skin or a gun or a weapon or,
right.
or a power-up or whatever. You can buy them, but they're also... randomly generated.
Okay.
So you can throw in $100 and not potentially get something that you want to get. Or
right,
you can,
right.
But also people don't like them because on certain games you can pay to win.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Look, on all honesty, I don't give a shit about that. If someone wants to spend $100 on a gun and then they're the best of the game, yep. fucking good on you. Well done. It's the gambling side.
I bet they like it too, being the best in a game. Yeah,
but I'd rather
works out well for everyone.
I'd rather earn it, but also I'd rather earn it through not a loot box. I'd rather be like, I earn enough points, now give me that weapon.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I would rather go in a game, if I want to get a cool gun, I would like to have a mechanic that makes sense, like going into a gun shop and buying the gun or whatever.
Exactly, you know? Mason. But the other thing is...
which I think, what was the previous Battlefront?
Battlefront, yeah.
Where you turn into Darth Vader.
Yeah, you get a Darth Vader coin.
Yeah, you get a coin, yeah.
And they fix that because I talked about it the other week. I really like the beta. Because if you want to be a hero character, you play well enough and then you get it in game. So as you're playing, if you're doing well, now you can be Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, right.
You can get a ship or whatever. So that's, I much prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the gambling side of it, I think, that's dangerous. I think, and Filthy Casuals talked about it on their podcast.
Yeah.
If kids are playing this game, What's the classification of the game going to
be? Exactly, because it's if there's a game and within the game the character goes to a casino or plays a slot machine, it will say parental advisory contains gambling.
Yeah, but if there's literal,
but there's literal gambling where you put in a credit card and you could just.
Yeah,
it's like in-app purchases and like an iPhone or something like that. If you've got your credit card in there, you can just tap a thing and all of a sudden you've paid $24.99 for something.
Exactly,
and it doesn't register because it just goes out of somebody's account.
And for me, all I want is a single player campaign.
Yeah, like, right.
The multiplayer stuff is kind of a bonus. Kind of, I played a bit of Uncharted multiplayer, which I really liked. Yeah. Like obviously this one, but I just want a good single player story. So generally, I don't care about this stuff. Like it does because it doesn't affect me. But then I'm hearing and I've also heard that Battlefront 2 might be scaling that stuff back.
Yeah,
but I don't know whether that's true even because they've kind of been a bit cagey because the beta is going to change from the. So I might, if I do get a chance to go over, I might speak to them about that. But it would probably be public knowledge by then anyway. But. What was I even going to say? Yeah, the Shadow of War game. Every time you pause the game, it's like, hey, there's a loot box, buy this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think, if this is the way that games are going, where they're breaking them up into segments and you got to pay to get further,
yeah.
I just want solid single-player story. That's all I want. But that's,
same.
But that's also not necessarily profitable because you can release a multiplayer... You know, you could like a Destiny 2 or whatever, and people can continue to play and upgrade and keep coming back to it forever and ever. With a one player game or just a story mission, you might only do it twice, and
that's
you're not going to pay any more. You might get some DLC down the line. You might get the figurine kind of thing at the start. But this is a way to get more money out of people and make it kind of over time. So I understand the model. And I'm not necessarily against it, but
I'm very against it, quite frankly.
Look, if you want to pay to win, I don't care. Like I don't care. But I think when you, I like to know what I'm getting from the outset. I want all of the content from the outset.
I don't like this nickel and diming for. Mm. And also, again, it speaks to this version of gaming and technology in general, where you don't own the thing that you buy anymore.
That's right.
You just buy a license for it, where it's like, okay, and you know, it's like. A lot of the time when you buy a game and it's like, it requires continuous on internet connectivity and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And if your internet cuts out, the game drops out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Like Mario Run, the mobile game.
Yeah. Right.
Which I love. Well, I don't play it anymore, but yeah, you need a constant internet connection, which is insane. Why? Mm. To what end?
Right.
Makes no sense.
Loot boxes.
not, I don't even know. See that, see in the problem, that game did really, didn't do very well. It was like $16.
Yeah.
And it's a, but it didn't sell because people were like, that's too much, but you'll download Cookie Crunch or whatever. I don't know. Cookie.
Yeah.
Cookie Dem Diamond
Cookie
Machine.
Cookie Clipper or whatever. Whatever. It was, yeah.
And it's a buck a day and people don't care. Mm. So I can see why they do it because it's a way to get money out of people.
So what do you think is going to happen in the future? Do you think it's, do you think this nickel and diming is going to get so ingrained into people's brains that they will just keep doing it? Or do you think people will be like, I'm done with this? I think maybe the concept of it will, because people aren't necessarily getting stupider.
I think people are wising up to it. I think I think like this, and especially Shadow of War, people are like, enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you, I think they've pushed it right to the line. And the other problem is these games in the middle have been disappearing. Like you've got games like Cuphead, which took like 4 years to develop, and it was like a really small team. And then you got, you know, stuff like EA on the other hand. There's not a lot of stuff in the middle.
That's true.
Like every now and then. I would happily pay $30-$40, which I actually did the other day for the Uncharted expansion, Lost Legacy, to play like a 6-hour campaign.
Totally, yeah.
That's completely reasonable to me.
I always go back to like movie length. Like a movie here is $20 and it's 2 hours. Mm. Well, then I'll pay $40 for a 5-6 hour
game.
Because it's a good amount of entertainment.
Anyway, whatever. It's not really our area, but that's some things that we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got them. We've solved it.
Yeah. There we go. Apparently X-Men Dark Phoenix will feature the Skrulls.
Oh, what?
So apparently there's a scene that takes place in the United Nations building. There's a scene at the UN with Professor X, Magneto, Jean Grey, Cyclops in attendance discussing mutant rights.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then at some point an alien ship comes down.
According to whom?
The fan site Universo X-Men.
Oh, Universo X-Men.
Yeah, I don't normally have the source in front of me, but I do this time for some reason. That's odd.
Okay.
Man, I'm just on top of my game today.
And who does Universo X-Men say that's come from, I wonder?
I don't know. Probably some guy. We say stuff like
that. Yeah, that's true. We do, yeah. They think they're going to horn in our hot scoop or shot of poop segment. Well, they're not going to be able to.
Yeah, but...
So that means, so for those who don't know, Fox, the X-Men can't be used by Marvel generally in their movies because the X-Men license is owned by Fox.
Yeah.
However, Marvel have announced that then one of their upcoming movies, Captain Marvel, is going to contain the shape-shifting aliens, the Skrulls.
Yes.
And the fact that they're going to appear in a Fox movie,
it's a Quicksilver situation all over again.
Yeah. Or deals are happening, maybe?
I think it's one of those characters that both of them have.
Right, okay. Yeah. Mm, interesting.
And I think also Fox owns specific Skrulls.
That's true. They would own the Super Skrull
and
the Power Skrull, for example.
The two good ones.
The two good Skrulls, yeah. Yeah.
They sound like gaming systems. The Super Skrull and the Power Skrull.
And the Power Skrull. If you're more budget-minded, you want the Power Skrull.
The Classic Skrull.
Yeah, that's
right. The Skrull Mini.
Yeah, the Pocket Skrull. Skrull Color.
Yeah, who do you think is going to do them better?
Marvel.
Yeah, almost certainly.
But who's going to make
them... But then again, Fox did Quicksilver better.
That's true, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so...
Interesting. Who's going to have the best... Because I don't really know what the Skrull shape-shifting effect is.
I don't know. It's going to be weird that they're just...
Who's
going
to have the better one is the question.
Well, yeah, yeah. But I just think, well, probably... I don't know, actually. I mean...
See, because, again, Fox had the better Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And they... I don't know if it was deliberate, but it feels like they went, okay, we have to show Marvel up here. We have to think hard and work hard on a sequence that shows
and
we
play
know that,
hard, Mason. Yeah, it's important to balance,
and
obviously.
And then rest hard.
Yeah.
And then die hard.
Yes.
But then, are they a Fox property? Is Die Hard a Fox property?
Yes.
Nice.
I can Google that.
Perfect.
While you're talking, I'll Google it.
But I think they went, okay, well, we have to make a Quicksilver action sequence that shows we know this character better than Marvel does, or we have a more memorable version than Marvel does.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe they'll go the same direction of like... Okay, well, we have to have the Skrulls be more interesting and more...
Yeah, more menacing.
More menacing.
We've got the Skrull Mini.
Yep. So. They're going to have a bigger bum chin, the Skrulls.
Potentially, yeah. No, I think that there'll have to be some differentiation. Do you think this is a reaction to them knowing that Sony were going to do it? It is 20th Century Fox. Die Hard was.
Yes!
There you go, good job.
Thank you.
Do you think it's reactionary, or do you think... Like, who can use them first?
No, because it's the Skrulls,
yeah.
I feel.
But the Quicksilver thing was reactionary, because Fox were doing Mini Juggernaut.
Right,
that was
right,
the original
plan
for Days of Future Past, and then they went, "Ah, oh, no, we'll do Quicksilver also."
Okay,
yeah. So, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're going to use the Power Scroll.
Okay,
because he has the X-Men's powers.
He certainly doesn't.
No, he does.
Or does?
No, he does.
No, I said does.
Oh, I see. Right,
you thought I said
you're
going to
fix that in the edit.
Yeah, I'll fix it in the edit.
Make me look like a real idiot.
I'll fix it to say doesn't, so you don't look like an idiot.
No, thanks. Ah, you're a giver.
I am. I don't know why I put this in. I saw the headline and it made me laugh.
Yes.
Sure is in Mamma Mia 2, but the reason I bring that up is because, did you know Mamma Mia 2 is called Mamma Mia Here We Go Again! Exclamation mark.
No, but that's great.
Did you know that?
No.
That's incredible.
Wait, when did this come out or is it not
it's
out?
Coming out.
All right.
It's been 10 years apparently since the last one.
Yeah, okay.
I was not aware of that.
That's actually...
Here We Go Again!
Yeah. That's fun though.
I've heard that movie's not good, but it made $600 million worldwide.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan is apparently atrocious in that. In his singing of that.
Does everybody do their own singing?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a real situation.
Okay.
I hate ABBA. I just can't.
Yeah. I feel that joke is worth it for the thing.
I feel that. So you're on board.
I'm on board, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I wonder, like, they've probably used all the ABBA songs. Are they just going to do them again?
Yeah, that's true.
Are they going to do Olivia Newton-John songs instead?
Oh, Xanadu.
Xanadu. Yeah. They could do the Xanadu soundtrack.
Yeah. They could do Roxette songs.
They could, yeah. They're very good.
Who's the modern day ABBA?
Probably Jedward.
Oh, yes, Jedward.
Those guys?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Remember one year they had big hair, and then the next year they went back to Eurovision and they had flat hair, and people were like, God, these guys.
Wow.
How do they
do it? They broke the mold when they made these two, Jed and Ward.
Last bit of news. Stephen Esther Knight, who's the mind behind the first season of Daredevil, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the new Pacific Rim movie.
Mm-hmm.
He said this about, because they're all the same company as the King Kong and Godzilla reverse.
Right.
They're all the same company. He said, I won't say there's an Easter egg, but there's been a lot of discussion about the possibility of a crossover.
Ooh.
I'm sure we've been asked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? A Pacific Rim / Godzilla / King Kong.
I don't know what I said last time, but today, in whatever mindset I'm in now, tired,
yep,
I'm on board. Sounds great.
Tired and filled with safety pins.
That's right. They're just clanking around.
Yeah. What this does raise the question of another confusing timeline situation.
Yeah, where do you put it?
Where
exactly.
Do you put it? I mean, you've got to go in the future, right?
You'd have to go in the future, but it'd also have to be a future in which, for some reason, Godzilla and or King Kong didn't help out against...
Well, Godzilla goes into a hibernation.
That's true.
King Kong fell off a building.
It's true.
So, I don't know.
Godzilla's just in a really big gutter, scrambling to get out.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because you think he would be, he'd be at the forefront of smashing a monster, because that's what he's about.
I think maybe parallel dimension.
Okay. Well, it could be, because it is parallel.
Yeah.
Mason.
That's very good.
Well done.
But of course, the Godzilla universe doesn't really fit with parallel dimensions, but
doesn't matter.
Chuck it in.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
All it'd have to be that a Jaeger pops through. It wouldn't have to go the other way.
That's true.
That a Jaeger pops into our.
But
universe.
Then what would a Jaeger?
Because it's following the monsters.
Yeah, but that doesn't work in our dimension either.
The monsters.
Does it? No, the Jaeger.
Why not?
Jaeger? Is it Jaeger or Jaeger?
It's Jaguar.
Oh,
it's Jaeger.
Okay, right.
Like Jaegermeister.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, why wouldn't it work in our universe?
Because they're too silly.
Come on.
They're a bit silly.
You're a bit silly, mate, if you think that's silly. You don't know movies. You don't take them seriously. That's your problem, mate.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would work. It could work.
No, I don't like it at all.
Okay. You're on board a minute ago.
Yeah, but I'm on a knife edge of being on board and not on board.
Because you talked yourself out of it.
Because Godzilla basically worked in that last Godzilla movie because it was our universe to a more or less... extent, and we were, and it's like, this is insane what is happening here. But you throw a giant robot in,
yeah.
Like in the Godzilla movie, we're like, we don't have the technology.
Giant robots in Godzilla, generally,
but not in the because it's a somewhat realistic universe in the most recent.
It's
one.
Getting less realistic though, isn't it?
Well, if you include King Kong,
you do include.
Yeah, I don't like the robot. I think
can build a helicopter, you can build a Jaeger. Is what I'm
saying.
Godzilla,
they're not that
different,
Mason. Godzilla and King Kong gonna have to get caught in a dimensional rip from our universe and get sent to the Pacific Rim universe.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and then they're gonna be like, what are these? We're gonna fight these monsters, and then it turns out they're not. Man was the real monster.
So it has to be they go over to... I guess, is there anybody interesting in the Godzilla universe
No.
So, I mean, there's the guy, there's Quicksilver, and in King Kong, there's Tom Hiddleston, but he's from the 70s.
Yeah.
So, and Brie Larson.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, it all, I think this all hinges on whether this movie is good.
Yes.
Pacific Rim. I mean, if it's not good, they'll just be like, no, no. Because yeah, there was supposed to be an X-Men Fox, Fantastic Four Fox crossover, which they went, no.
No, 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 thank
it's,
you,
it's
no.
Actually a different dimension.
Yeah, so we can't breach dimensional barriers, so yeah, nah.
Yeah, even though in those movies they clearly can, because they did it. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mason, it's time for an ad. No, yeah. We did that already. I think it's... this is worse than an ad. We're going to talk about Geostorm.
Oh, yay!
Man. No, I put the call out on Twitter.
All right, I want to be clear. We didn't... At no point did we have to talk about Geostorm.
Yeah.
But you kind of insisted.
I floated it on Twitter and then I dragged you along. Because I wanted to say, do people want us to talk about Geostorm?
Uh-huh.
And people did.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did say it,
yep.
And I hated it. It was real bad. It's my least favorite genre of film.
But you hate this genre. You hate the last disaster movie we saw was San Andreas, I think.
Which I hated.
And you hated it, but you hate it. Do you hate it because there's no one to punch?
There's no one to punch.
There's no villain.
If there's a villain.
This is a movie that does have a villain.
Yeah, but even then, it's not a good villain. It's not well fleshed out. Like, the villain of San Andreas was Johan Griffith, but he'd been hit in the head, so it's like, cut him some slack.
Yeah,
like, the world's falling down.
Well, let me tell you about Geostorm.
Let me tell you about Geostorm.
Let me tell you about Geostorm. It's a bad movie.
Yes.
But I loved it.
Ah.
And see, here's the thing. So, when you... A lot of the time, a big blockbuster movie will come out, and people will be like, okay, if you're going to see this movie, don't wait for DVD. You've got to see it on a big screen. You've got to see it on IMAX. You've got to see it on double IMAX. You've got to see it in 3D. You've got to see it with a surround sound. You've got to see it with a rumble chair. You're going to get a big popcorn and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you'll get the full experience. I say, not with this movie, but with this movie, if you're going to see it while sitting next to a friend of yours who is hating every second of it. Because I don't know if that was definitely part of it.
We got the best seats we've ever had in a movie also ever.
And you spent a lot of it with your head in your hands. And I'm like, this is... On paper, this movie isn't very good.
No, and in reality, it's not very good also.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I hate all of these.
Yes.
And this is the worst one.
Yeah, right.
And that is really saying something. Can we just talk numbers just quickly?
Yes. I hear it did not do well.
Well, after delays and reshoots, Mason, Geostorm rocketed into theaters.
Oh, yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
They pushed it back from, like, it was supposed to come out like March last year. I can't remember exactly when, but it's been like a year delayed. A budget of over $125 million, and in the first weekend in the US, it made 12.5.
Ooh,
it's projected to.
That's 10%.
Which means that the reshoots didn't cover, like, if they hadn't have reshot it, they would have made more money.
Right,
because
yeah.
The reshoots cost more than it made in the opening weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need, it didn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why you would bother trying to fix this.
Uh-huh.
Just put it out. Imagine what it was before this.
You're right.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So it's Dean Devlin's directorial debut,
We thought initially, this is very Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
But it's Dean, it's the same.
It's the same, yeah. I thought it was, but I think I looked it up during the movie.
Probably.
But he's a producer of Independence Day, Stargate, Godzilla, Independence Day Resurgence. There's a pattern there. Mm. They get worse. But Godzilla's probably the worst one. But so these movies were big in the 90s, and I hated it because it were like Twister, Volcano,
I feel you would have loved Twister.
No,
back
I hated Twister.
Interesting.
I hated it. I remember at the time people were like, "Did you see the cow?" The cow that went across the screen. Right. Yeah, I saw it. And like that movie's it's no good. Who talks about Twister now fondly, aside from the fact that Bill Paxton or Pullman's in it?
Yeah, right.
Even Independence Day, it's not good. People like the sequel's not good. They're both not good, but they're both better than this.
Good question.
This has so many tropes.
Yeah.
Of the Roland Emmerich Dean Devlin averse.
Can I ask you a question about this movie? What did you think the story was? I'm turning it on you. This one's all about you, baby.
Okay, so it's like the future. It's
a
like
couple of years.
Four
in the
minutes into the future in 2019, the weather's so bad that they built.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The reason that. Maybe one of the reasons that this movie hasn't done well is because a lot of the world is currently underwater or experiencing a real-life disaster movie, often referred to as an actual natural disaster.
Right, yeah.
That's the reason.
And people don't need the escapism of going to watch a city fall down.
Yeah.
Okay, so because the world's gone to shit.
Yep.
Weather-wise, yeah. So Gerard Butler, he's the best scientist in the world.
He's a genius.
But he's also a bit of a bloody renegade.
Yeah, that's right.
So he builds a net around the Earth.
Not a literal net.
No, it's a net. Oh, okay. He builds a full-on...
Fisherman's net.
It's got holes in it, obviously. Mm. But it covers the entire Earth, and from a space station they can control the weather.
What's it called?
Is it Icarus or something
it's
like that?
It's called Dutch Boy.
Dutch Boy, that's right.
Because of the Dutch boy stuck his finger in the dice.
Yeah, right. But the other thing is about, it's called Dutch Boy, but he refers to it as a she, like couple of times. So it's confusing there in terms of what, he's supposed to know it back to front.
Yeah.
And sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, right.
So like you'll be like, oh, I'd hear that noise. That means something's broken loose and you should have got this thing checked out because he gets fired.
Anyway, I'm just going to go into this bathroom and he opens the door and it's a supply closet.
Exactly.
It's like, oh. Anyway, so he's...
So he doesn't know the basic layout, but he knows the noises that it makes.
Yeah. So anyway...
Let me finish.
All right.
So he's on the council. So he runs it. He lives in space a lot of the time.
Yeah.
His brother's some kind of government liaison.
Oh, also Gerard Butler's character's name's Jack. Yeah. Which is one of
Jake.
That's Jake. One of the few manly names you're allowed to have as an action movie character in a Dean Devlin movie. You're
also,
only allowed to be called Jack or Jake.
He's got his weird American Scottish accent.
Yeah.
That he's never quite. I like Jerry Butler as well.
Yeah, me too.
He's definitely not the worst.
You call him Jerry.
Yeah,
probably.
He's good.
He's certainly not a Jerry. He's a real Rick, if anything.
Yeah, he's good in this as well. Like, for what it is, I like him.
Uh-huh.
But
it's certainly not his most unpleasant role.
Which probably is Gamer?
Or Law-Abiding Citizen, where he just murders everyone.
Yeah, so I was thinking of Law. Yeah,
yeah.
That's got the phone with the gun in it.
Phone with the gun, yeah.
But so basically he gets fired from running Dutch Boy because he's all about handing it over to the International Space Station, so it's not just America controlling it.
Yeah.
And they're like... Why don't you just do the right thing and because he stopped the weather. That's right, because the bloody bureaucrats were stopping him.
That's right, yeah, because from saving lives.
So he
those pencil-necked, button-down bureaucrats.
he turned on Dutch Boy. That's
early.
That sweet old girl.
He saved them.
before he should have, because he saved like some countries. And they're like, you crossed the line. He's like, I saved millions of people. And they're like, you're fucking fired. And he's like, fuck you.
They're in so he comes back to Earth for like a
meeting.
Like a hearing.
Yeah. A drumming out.
Yeah, yeah.
A drumming down?
Yeah, drubbing down.
Drubbing down.
A drubbing down.
Sorry, I'm very fired up.
Yeah.
Can't get my words in order.
Yeah.
But his brother's like, because he's in charge of the government.
Here's a fun little, my favorite part of the opening sequence is that,
spoilers.
Yeah, Jack.
You didn't see this anyway, spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. We're not expecting anybody to see this. Anyway, Jake is in...
Jack. That's Jake.
Jake.
Let me Google that.
He's in the hearing, right? And the button-down pencil neck is like, you're in the wrong here. And Jake's like, no, I'm the... And he's giving him a bit of pushback. And his brother, who's also in the room, keeps texting him, hey... Ease up. Stop it. Stop being so confrontational.
And you don't know it's his brother either.
Yeah. But then he's like, yeah, well, how about you're a pencil neck nerd and I don't care what you do. And then they're like, you're fired. And then he comes out of the meeting. He meets his brother.
Yeah.
He meets this guy who we're learning his brother. And then his brother goes, hey, by the way, I'm the new head of this
thing,
the system. and I have to fire you. I warned you. I said you should have been nicer in this meeting.
Yeah.
Because now I have to fire you.
Yeah.
But it's not like... What? What? Again, it's one of those plot elements that could have been solved with a post note. He could have put it on his fridge and said, hey, just so you know...
Just shut up. I'm the boss now.
And if you are... Just hold your tongue or I will have to fire you.
Yeah.
That's something you should have told him before.
And once I'm in charge... It's fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm in charge and I trust you.
Yeah.
But instead he's like, you're fired.
Yeah. And then that leads to, he's like, this is just like when we were kids and you took my sailboat or whatever.
There was a part where he's like, when his brother's like, I've known your dad for a long time because she speaks to his daughter. Oh, he's a divorced dad because they all are in these movies.
Lives in a trailer.
All these Dean Devlin fucking Roland Emmerich films, all the disaster films. It's a dad who's just, he's got a good heart, but sometimes he just can't get it together.
Yeah.
It's that whole situation.
Sometimes you can just build a worldwide network of satellites that can save the world by changing the weather, but you can't put a down payment on a house, you know?
No.
So you just have to live in a trailer. River.
One person thanks him.
Yeah, right.
But that guy should be the king of the world.
Yeah, right.
Like, quite literally.
Yeah.
But I don't believe...
But in order to become king of the world, you have to fill in a form. And he's not about filling in forms, man.
I don't believe in 2022, or whenever this is set, that the man who's literally saved the world could get fired by another man who could not exist in the real world. He's like... Who's like, we saved the world, but you're fired. And he's like, why? You didn't save the world. I didn't see you up on my space station.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe that wouldn't go to Twitter. Hey, they fired the guy who saved the world.
Yeah.
It just would not happen. Mm. The backlash alone.
Yeah, right.
It's so fucking implausible, this entire thing.
Uh-huh.
And it is hilarious, but obviously you found it, you were more forgiving.
Yes, absolutely.
But I just couldn't wrap my mind around how something this fucking stupid got this far. And it's $120 million.
Yeah.
Where is the budget? Because
like,
even the falling down of buildings looks terrible.
Right?
The special effects are laughable in places.
Mm.
Like, really terrible.
So what did you think the plot was?
So, I'm still in that, aren't I?
Yeah,
so,
you're still,
Dutch boy's gone rogue. That old girl.
Yes, that sweet maven of the seas, Dutch boy, has bloody, there's a scene in the desert where a whole bunch of people are being frozen.
Something
there's a scene in Russia or something where...
Hong Kong, where the city heats up and all the buildings fall down.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's probably nothing. And so the brother, Jim Sturgis of Jake, goes, I tell you what you should do, send up a whole crew, do a full investigation. And they're like, no, just send up one guy.
Yep.
And he's like, well, I've got the perfect guy.
Bloody my brother Jake who Jack. Hates me. Yeah, Jake Jack.
So then he has to go up to Dutch Boy and unravel this conspiracy of, is it a virus or is it a person doing it? It's a person.
It's a person. Spoiler surprise, alert. Spoiler alert.
And then, Jim Sturgis on the ground, who looks like he cuts his own hair, which I'm not against, but it's very noticeable, right?
Yeah, totally.
But
he's always missing at the back.
Yeah, it's always missing at the back. A couple of mirrors. But he's trying to unravel the conspiracy on Earth while his brothers kind of do it in space.
Uh-huh.
And I get the messages that it's going for.
Meanwhile, his brother, Max, cuts his own hair.
Yes.
Max cuts his own hair.
Yeah.
He has to deal with this conspiracy on the ground while also being bailed out by his Secret Service girlfriend, played by Abby Cornish.
Great Australian actor.
Who's the action hero of this. But he also has to deal with the fact that they can't make their relationship public because it's against the rules of the Secret Service.
They can't
apparently.
Get married because it's illegal.
Because of the Secret Service.
I mean, maybe that's a rule in the future. Maybe it's a rule now. I'm fairly certain it's not.
Yeah, nor will it be.
So, I mean, it's not the priesthood, is it?
No.
You know what I mean? It makes no sense. Why can't they make it public?
Mm.
So he uses her contacts to like... get close to the president because they think maybe it's the president because this conspiracy goes all the way
all
to the top.
All the way to the top.
Turns out it's Ed Harris. but the reason he
just
wants...
Just the actor Ed Harris.
But he kind of... His reasoning behind it is that he wants to start again, but he also wants to be president. So he's willing to kill...
The president.
Everybody in the Middle East, the president, Hong Kong and presumably China and Russia.
Yeah.
So that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's like, we're going to do a clean reset and
now
I'll be president. Ed Harris is a great actor, but he could not sell this shit. Like on no level.
All right. Here's a question. Could this film be salvaged by Jerry Butler's ragtag team. When he goes up to Dutch Boy, when he goes up to the old girl, Dutch Boy, and he goes up there because they give him a team. They give him an elite team. The team consists of the British guy.
He's basically, what's his name? He's Russell Brand.
Right. Yeah.
Also, he gets there. Sorry, finish.
I've got to form the team together. Yeah. Okay. Russell Brand. Poor man's Billy Bob Thornton, but
yes,
he's from Mexico.
He's Mexican. There's a poor man's Jean Reno, and he's French. And there's a German woman who runs the station. Mm-hmm. But when he gets there, he's like, let me tell you something.
There's also a couple of members of that, and another couple of members of the ragtag team, but they don't do anything.
Yes,
so
that's right, but they're there. I think it's just to kind of flesh out the multicultural cast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like that idea of the world coming together to solve this common problem. Uh-huh. Like, there's themes.
So you're saying
issues.
You like this, you
Shut
like
up.
This movie?
Shut up!
Yeah.
But he gets there, and he's like, and he sits down the ragtag team, and he's like, listen, I'm here to make a bloody, we're going to clean this up because something's going on here, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and God damn it, you guys are sons of bitches, and this is a bloody shambles. And they're like, who are you? You don't recognize the guy who built the station. He's probably the most famous man in the world, and you work on the thing that he built.
Yeah, right.
And you don't know who he is.
Haven't you seen the poster in your in your room of him?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
And also, they've got this camaraderie that you don't feel at all. There's a bit at the end where he's saved by the Mexican guy, the Mexican Billy Bob Thornton.
That's my favorite bit.
And it's got a very unironic. So he jettisons that because Dutch Boy, that old girl, gets exploded.
The Iron Lady, Dutch Boy.
The Iron Lady of the sky of space explodes and he escapes in a little capsule and the Mexican guy grabs him with a spaceship. Mm-hmm. And he unironically turns to him and goes, whatever your name is, you son of a bitch.
Ah, oh, so
and he
Dean
gives
Devlin.
Him a thumbs up and he's like, remember, I'm Mexican or whatever. Which is kind of a nod to be like, hey, even people from Mexico are people too. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Remember how Mexico and America used to be mortal enemies?
Which, exactly. But the thing is, though, like, but they never had any interactions where that would work. He had more interactions with the French guy. So when he's like, you, my old friend. No, you never had any interaction.
Right.
You maybe had a couple of sentences. The French guy you interacted with more. There's a bit where he goes into the locker room to find like a memory stick because there was a guy who was
a hollow stick.
A hollow
please.
Stick, sorry, because
it's years in the future.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. So it's got some data on it because. A guy who was working there who got jettisoned from the spaceship because he knew too much hid it in the locker room and he gets in there and he opens the locker and finds and the French guy's there and he's like, I've been waiting for somebody to come and find this. I knew something was up. So he's been waiting there for 2 weeks.
In a sweaty,
but
humid
also,
locker room.
There are a lot of other scenes where he's not in the locker room.
Right.
So I don't even know how that works.
Well, there's prime locker going into locker room going into times.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, he must be near the
door.
All
humans are on a natural going into a locker room cycle.
I guess they are. I guess they are.
What else happens in this movie that's pretty great? He can't get it together to like, he's divorced and he can't look after his daughter.
Can't look, and she's, it's one of those daughters where it's, you know, it's
she's like 12 or something.
Yeah, it's like you live Tyler and Armageddon, but younger. It's the sassy daughter, but she's got a, she reminds me of that, you know, the girl in Transformers, the last Transformers. Is
yeah,
like,
right.
I'm a bit ragtag, but I've built a solar panel bloody barbecue or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm
now
just
get it
like
together,
my dad.
Dad.
Yeah, get it together. I'm not supposed to be telling you what to do. And
it's pretty
and
great.
And there was a point where he's like, don't worry, I'm definitely going to come back. So even though the space station was exploding and whatever, and you're like, oh no, because he's the last one there, he's definitely going to die. But at no point. His daughter's watching on. It's like all these movies. It cuts to like people watching televisions of disasters, or look like it cuts around the world, and there's like oil barons in Dubai. That's something else, which we'll get into. And they're watching footage of like the world going to shit because there's going to be a geostorm. Heads up, also there is no geostorm in this movie.
There never gets to be a
there's
geostorm.
There's the start of a geostorm, but then there's no geostorm.
That's true.
So if you're going
there's
in for a
geostorm,
there's a
very specific countdown to a geostorm.
There's an hour and a half until a geostorm, which is that a real thing?
No,
like, surely not. But it's basically all the different storms will happen at once. It's not like the same storm. One place it's a volcano, other places it's hail, other
at
places
point,
it's a flood.
At one point it's just a giant laser shooting down from a satellite. That's apparently one of the abilities of this weather satellite of the great lady of Dutch Boy is to just shoot a laser down. Hey, we've got to change the weather in that city. Oh yeah, shoot a laser at it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So there's no geostorm. But okay, also at the end, so it cuts to Dubai. And this giant wave rolls in and kills everybody.
Yeah, right.
That city has, I don't know how many millions of people, uh-huh. but there's a lot. There's also skyscrapers, and it cuts to like oil barons or oil sheiks up in the towers, and they're looking very worried as this wave rolls in and hits the building. And at the end, they're safe and they're all high-fiving because we got out of it. So thank God these oil barons survived.
I mean, all their slaves died.
Yeah, all their slaves wiped out. Because I don't know if you've ever been to Dubai, and I've only been to the airport. You look out, it's this glittering, amazing glass and steel city, and then it's just shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, because it's in the middle of the desert. So everybody who's below 40 stories is dead.
Yeah, right.
Also, they save a dog in this because, of course, they do. Because that's the universe that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
So in all the ensuing chaos, because it's cutting around the world, they don't go to Australia, which we're waiting for, because they always go to Australia.
Waiting for to see the Sydney Opera House melting, or being covered in snow or something, or being shot with a laser.
$120 million and you couldn't cut the Sydney Opera House in half with a laser? Get it together.
Yeah.
But I guess they weren't aiming for Australia.
Or maybe like somebody sitting below a tin roof and they're going like, Marge, the rains are here.
Wave.
Yeah, and then he's dead.
Or a laser.
A laser, yeah.
I said my mic. A laser would be better. Mm. But my God. There's some
incredible moments in this movie. One of my favorites has just come to mind. So on the ground, the brother and Abby Cornish discover that there's a conspiracy theory, right? Yeah. And so he goes, wait, which way does this go?
I don't know what you're going to say.
There's a code. We realize at a certain point that as kids, they had a special, because they both wanted to be...
They're always video phoning each other from the space station to the two brothers. Yeah. Sorry, keep
and
going.
So who has the...
So Jerry Butler tells a story.
Jerry Butler is like, listen, we don't get along, but listen... Remember this when we were kids, and our dad took us out fishing, and we never caught anything. But I just
we thought it was a conspiracy.
Yeah, blah blah blah. Right, and then he's like,
maybe it was a Dutch boy had been hacked of a day, kind of thing.
Yeah, but then what happens is the lady of the sky. But then he tells this long involved story about going fishing, and hey, maybe we could go fishing again sometime or whatever. And then the brother takes the video of this conversation, this long involved story, takes it down to his computer hacker friend, played by Zazie Beetz from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's good in this, I think.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, he's like, listen, we had a special code as kids.
Mm.
Here's this number of this cell phone number.
Yeah.
Give us the ninth word, and then the ninth word, and then the fifth word, and then the seventh word, and then the eighth word, and then the fifth word, or whatever. And then she goes, okay, and she isolates it all. And then Jerry Butler goes, there's a conspiracy. It's the president. It's so good. Like, that he would have had to write it and rehearse it and highlight it. And make sure the brother... If the brother had interrupted it, if the brother had gone... Hey, what's the point of this story? He would have had to go, just listen, I'm literally going to have to start the story again.
Yeah, disregard this, what I'm saying now. Yeah.
Start again. That's one of my favorite bits.
He goes back later and he's like, I've got my lady friend, the woman from what's it called? The show that you just
Atlanta.
Mentioned. Atlanta. Yeah. And she's like, oh, don't worry, we can talk normally because I've hacked the system or whatever. So, But also the brother on the ground also already knew something was up.
Yeah, right. That's
true.
So
they both kind of figured it out at the same time anyway.
Because they're brothers, on the same wavelength.
There's also a bit, I didn't realize they were brothers because he says, the Jim Sturgis, the haircut guy, says to Jerry Butler's daughter, you know, when I was your age, me and your bloody dad used to bang about. And I'm like, are they the same age?
Right.
Like 15 years apart.
Yeah.
And they are brothers and he is younger. Mm-hmm. And there's also a weird message about little brothers don't know anything. That's a real hard line in this movie.
Wow.
Have you noticed that?
Wow. Well, I didn't notice that, but as the middle brother,
I'm a middle brother.
You would have noticed that quite a lot.
Yeah, that's right. It's terrible.
No, it's really good. Okay, so anyway, we're still in the story. I don't know if you're aware of that. You don't. Yeah.
When are we going to get to the review?
So anyway, the story. It turns out like all these disasters are happening, and people are like, oh, what's the bloody what's happening? It must be just malfunctions or whatever. And so they bring in like one of the satellites and it just starts swinging around like crazy and like trying to smash him.
Yeah.
And then is there another attempted murder? Probably.
Yeah, he's in space. That's right.
That's right.
He goes out to space because he needs to get, because there's a hard drive.
It's gone into space.
Stuck in one of the wings of that old girl, that mm-hmm. old chestnut.
That's right.
So he goes out in a space suit and there's a bit where it looks like he might float off into space. And they're like, oh no. Jerry Butler's going to go into space. He's got to grab onto something. They've got 50 spaceships.
Yeah, right.
They've got 50 spaceships. You see them all the time. It is no effort to get one down to Earth or back up again.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Flying all about. It's like the Death Star. People are coming and going, but they're just, and they're like, oh, I hope Jerry Butler hangs on.
One question that arose for me is, surely the manufacturing...
Everything's got a big grabby arm on it. Sorry.
The manufacturing processes that led to... that there's 50 spaceships and this enormous grid of satellites, maybe instead of doing that, maybe don't manufacture them and there'd be less pollution.
The weather
might normalize a little bit. But no,
things had to get worse before they got better, Mason.
I guess that's true, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so they determine that there's a virus on the spaceship and they're like, where'd the virus come from? The top.
Yes, it was the top.
But it was also the British guy.
Oh, yeah, it was Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a gun.
We thought it was the French guy because it's always the French guy.
I didn't think it was the French guy.
Yeah.
I thought because that's been... The French are now our allies.
That's
kind of how it goes. And mm-hmm. it would have been the French guy in the 90s or maybe the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Remember Freedom Fries was the thing?
That's true, yeah.
So it would have been, yeah. But I realized though, because I picked the villain as Ed Harris, because you said it's the president, I said it's Ed Harris.
Uh-huh.
I think I already knew, because in the trailer you see the president get kidnapped. So I think subconsciously I already knew that. So I don't think it was a guess. I think I may have just known that.
To be clear, Ed Harris is like the president's second in command or something, or his secretary of state or secretary of defense or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some guy. He's campaign manager. I don't know.
Who cares?
What else happens?
But he's
in this
close enough to being the president where he can just be the president if he kills the president.
What I enjoyed about this, we determined that the British guy is the guy behind inserting the virus. For a lot of money, that was why he did it.
And he's like, don't you want to see it all go down? Oh, obviously he doesn't, because he built the machine to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to convince?
Yeah. So they have to reset Geostorm.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So they have to reset Geostorm, the Dutch boy, the beautiful lady. they have to reset it to purge the virus. And if they don't, a Geostorm's going to happen.
In order
to reset Geostorm, you need the reset codes, and the reset codes are the fingerprints and retina scan of the president.
Yes.
So that's why they have to work together.
Yes.
But also the self-destruct is happening on the
Geostorm.
On the Dutch boy.
Which was in the virus, or did they set that? I think it was in the virus.
I think it was in the virus also, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but at any point, he's fighting... Jerry Butler is fighting the British guy. The British guy pulls out a gun.
Yep.
And what I enjoy about it is literally the station is exploding. Mm. Like pieces are flying off it and they're still just hanging out. But then the British guy like shoots a window with his gun accidentally and he's blasted out into space. I enjoyed that a lot.
It's a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It's a lot of fun, I think. Anyway, so the brother and...
Abby Cornish.
The brother and Abby Cornish think... that the president is responsible for this. So they're like, we're going to kidnap the president.
Trick to you, Mason.
And get him to switch it off.
Yeah.
Right. So then they tell Ed Harris that is the deal. And Ed Harris is like, well, you need to know that the reset switches is blah, blah. So he just tells him the information they need.
Why would you?
You'd be like, oh, cool. The reset codes are in that room.
Yeah.
And then shoot him. But you don't.
Also, he has Jim Sturgis's haircut, has his back to Ed Harris. And Ed Harris goes to shoot him and he misses.
Yeah.
Like he can't do it.
Great stuff.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. Also, anyway, so Abby Cornish and haircut, they kidnap the president and put him in a little car, like a self-driving car. They make a very big note that it's a self-driving car.
They, yeah.
And then they drive off. There's a car chase.
There's a South African Secret Service agent.
Yep. It's pretty good. Anyway,
which could probably be a thing, but it just seemed like you can't make him American.
Yeah, right.
But they had to be like, no, he's South African, so you know he's bad.
Yeah,
you know he's no good.
Real good. And then, let's see, then what happens?
Then she's doing some great driving.
Yep.
She does that thing where you spin the car around and you're going
reverse. You're driving in reverse
fast,
and you're also shooting
at the same time.
Yep.
And the president's like, you should marry this girl. So is it not a rule that you can marry? Like, is he circumventing the rule?
Presidential edict, you're both married now. And then they drive off, and then Ed Harris is like,
he's waiting for them.
Waiting for him, and he's like, okay, they're going to come through this way. So get South African Secret Service member, get the bazooka out of the car.
He's already died. The South African guy.
Other Secret Service guy, get your standard issue bazooka out of the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
And then
the one we packed just in case.
Just in case we needed to rocket launch a car. And then the car drives up and they shoot it with a rocket launcher. And then Ed Harris draws his gun and like goes around the wreckage of the car.
It's so exploded.
Yeah.
The car is just, it's a fireball.
It explodes and it flips. And then they're like, we got it. And then Abby Cornish shows up and is like,
not today, you
not
son
today.
Of a bitch.
It was a self-driving car, you son of a bitch.
Also, somehow we set the car to self-drive, and then we ran up the road about half a kilometer behind you.
Yeah.
And waited until you blew up the self-driving car.
And then 50 police cars and helicopters.
So many. At once, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. And the president's like, I'm the president, you son of a bitch. Or whatever. It's pretty great. And then they get the... Wait. Then they have to go. Then they go somewhere and they put the codes. They put the codes in.
Yeah.
And then they send the codes up to Jerry Butler, and they've evacuated the station because it's all exploding.
So many.
And he's like, "I'm gonna have to do this alone." But then the French lady or the German lady from before shows up.
Where was she for 25 minutes?
Don't know. Just hanging out. Also, there's a bit where
he goes to the wrong door again.
He goes through a door to get to the other side to, you know, switch off the self-destruct codes or whatever. And then a whole thing explodes and he can't get through there. And there's like 2.5 minutes to go.
And he's like, damn it.
And then he's put on a space suit.
Yep.
And then he flies out there. You can't put on a space suit on in 2.5 minutes.
By yourself.
Absolutely not. No.
Maybe it's a slip on.
Maybe it's a slip on. But anyway,
also the German lady had also put on a space suit.
Yep.
At some point.
Yeah, just in case.
Don't you think if the ship is exploding, put on the spacesuit? Like, that's probably number one.
Yeah,
because he could have been out in that corridor when it blew out.
That's true,
I mean, he's lucky that he wasn't.
Like when it happened to that guy earlier on the movie.
Yeah.
And that's on video that he's seen.
Oh, man, the whole thing's going to shit. Mm. Dutch boy, that old metal bitch in the sky.
That dirty old oily broad. But then he's like, I can't do it. I've gone the wrong door. And then the lady shows up and she's like, I've got it. Boop, boop, boop. And then they go in and they stop the geostorm with like seconds to spare. And then on Earth, the geostorm just stops.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Because that's how weather works.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I guess we're lost in space forever. But then the shuttle shows up and Mexican poor man's Billy Bob Thornton shows up and collects him with a claw and he's like, haha, you son of a bitch.
Because we're old friends.
Yeah, nice. That's the movie.
I think Dean Devlin's an idiot. And I've thought this for like 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I've said this on the show before. He seems like a very nice man.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I couldn't find the interview. There's an interview around the Star Wars re-release.
Yes.
And I looked and looked for it, but I couldn't find it, where he's talking about the first time that he saw Star Wars. Because he's like 55, so he's like prime age for original recipe Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene that he recounts is like, George Lucas is a genius and blah, 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 which I agree with. It's a great film, obviously. We've talked about it. But... He goes, and then there was a bit where Darth Vader came into the room for the first time and the whole cinema booed. And I was like, how does everybody know to do that? I don't know, because he just came through the door with the space Nazis who just gunned down 40 men. He's dressed in all black. There's ominous music. He's terrifying. Everybody's standing out of his way. What do you think everybody booed? What do you think the reasoning is? How did everyone figure it out at once?
What do you think the booing was for? It's a great new segment.
Also, this is a tweet of his.
Yes.
And I hate to rag on a man specifically, but I just feel like he's been doing the same thing for 20 years and nobody said anything.
Right.
Okay, so this is the tweet. Geostorm movie shows dangers of hacking the climate. We need to talk about real world geoengineering now. Geostorm doesn't show the dangers of hacking the climate. It shows the benefits of hacking the climate and the dangers
of a supervillain.
Wanting to destroy half the planet.
Yeah.
If anything, this movie is an advocate for hacking the climate.
Mm.
Like, at the end of this, I'm like, if they could do that, they should.
What is interesting about this movie is there's no moral in the movie that is, hey, maybe you should recycle or, like, maybe we should introduce a carbon pricing scheme or maybe, you know, stop using aerosol cans or whatever. There's none of that. It's just like, just wait for the world to burn and then... Build some satellites.
Build some satellites, yeah. Look, I'll say this.
Yes.
These movies are dead. This is it.
You think this is the last one?
It's finally happened.
Really? Here's the thing.
It's taken a long time since, like, 1995 Twister. Yep. And I know there's been disaster movies before that, but this is kind of, like, that. This is the last gasp. I don't have to see any of these anymore.
Really? I think it's just the last gasp for you. Here's the thing. I don't think you're right there. I think you're wrong. You know how just earlier in the show we were talking about those pay-to-play games and play-to-win games, and you were like, I think they've reached the end of the line, and they're going to have to pull back from here.
It's a turning point. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
I think the turning point... So the last actual disaster movie we saw was San Andreas, but the last movie of this type we saw was the last Transformers movie. And I think that is the turning point for this film. Because here's the reason I liked this movie a bit. Jerry Butler... He's the same character from the Transformers movies, except he's not a lunatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I felt this was this felt like a cool breeze.
Yeah. Oh, it's
a welcome relief.
You're right. It's definitely better than a Transformers film.
The Transformers movies are essentially disaster movies, except there's something behind. Like, it's always buildings are falling down and, like, platforms are collapsing and people are going, and falling and whatever. Right, but they have the same protagonist, which is the guy who can't get it together. But in the Transformers movies, that character is the worst person in the world. Like, Shia LaBeouf is just like, again, like, Megan Fox should be the main character of that first movie.
Yeah.
Because she's together.
She's smarter than him.
She knows stuff. She's got principles. She actively goes back at the end to, like, drive the pickup truck with Bumblebee at the end and, like, shoot the bad guys.
She might be more golden.
Just yeah,
which is saying a lot.
She's very tan.
Yeah,
and then, but
you're right.
We focus on the main character, the Cade Yeager, the Shia LaBeouf. Yeah. It's just a screaming idiot who is just yelling at everybody and is super aggressive. And his way is no better than anybody else's way.
Yeah,
he's always just wrong. Like, and this guy, Jerry Butler.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pullback. This is we're going. Yeah, just have a guy and he's just a regular Joe, but actually he knows some stuff. And he's generally likable.
You know what? I agree with
he's
you.
Not like,
right.
He's not like pulling out a beer on a street and like getting out of a car and drinking a beer and threatening everybody around him, you know?
Running over a guy's face with a car or whatever, yeah.
Classic Cade Yeager.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. No, you're not wrong.
Anyway, best movie ever in my opinion.
No, it's the worst.
Wow.
Look, I think you could enjoy... Look, I rant and rave and whatever, like a lunatic, but there is fun in this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't encourage you to see it. Because also, I think this could be the last gasp because it's made $12 million.
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly, yeah.
15 years ago, this would have been a smash hit.
Do you think they put it out now because
they couldn't?
Well, that's true. Do you think they put it out now because they couldn't, they had to put it out now?
The window's closing on this. Yeah.
Or do you think it's because they think that climate change is going to get worse? Like, this is, what if they're like, this is the... We can't go back and we can't put it out at a better time. But if we put this out in a year, there might have been 5 more hurricanes.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we can't put it
possible.
Out.
Yeah, you might be
at
right.
At all.
You might be right.
Mm.
Anyway, good on you, Dean Devlin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I yelled at you. That's not nice. You're just doing your best. You're probably a very nice man.
Yeah.
So, apologies.
Great stuff.
I thought we were going to talk about that for like 10 minutes.
Really?
That went.
I wanted to draw it out because But anyway, if you haven't seen it.
I didn't even write down that much.
Yeah, you don't have to see it at all.
Yeah.
But do. Yeah.
You know what it's time for then, Mason?
What's the time for?
What we reading?
What we gonna read?
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? I'd love to know what you're reading or going on.
I've been reading Dark Knight's Metal, which is DC's latest crazy crossover event.
Oh yeah, Metal, what's a crossover with?
Just itself, really.
Oh.
It's a standalone event, and it's got some tie-in issues. Have you heard about Metal? I think I mentioned there was some prequel issues. There was Dark Days of the Forge and Dark Days of the Casting. I think they were called.
Okay.
And basically, the premise is it's a very convoluted premise involving there are all these mysterious metals in the DC universe, and they can cause a breach in a dimensional barrier and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But it's called Metal more because somebody's come up with some really metal character designs and they're like, let's make it real metal.
So it's from the mid-90s, is it?
No, this is now.
Metal's from mid-90s, though. You said it's a crossover.
Yeah, but no, this is a series that's happening now.
No, I understand.
Yes.
But is metal is an existing property, is my question.
Oh, no, this is new.
Oh, yeah, okay,
this is,
gotcha.
This is a new thing.
Gotcha.
The DC metals that exist in the, you know, like Prometheum or like Nth Metal, they're all from back in the day. Anyway, the premise is basically that, look, the short premise is, somebody went, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Batman also had the powers of somebody else, like another superhero, and he was an evil lunatic?
Oh.
Yeah. So basically, Batman has discovered that in addition to all the parallel universes of the DC multiverse, there's also a dark multiverse that's falling to pieces, and the only survivors of a lot of these collapsing universes are evil, crazy Batmen. And they've all teamed up, and they're going to invade the regular DC universe. It's madness.
That sounds good.
Some of the main tie-in, the main book is pretty fun. Like it's introducing a lot of. I think DC went since the last rebirth, the reboot. They went, hey, let's just reintroduce all the crazy stuff you used to love. So
right,
Hawkman, you know, the Hawkman and Hawkgirl are back, and like Plastic Man's on his way back, and all this sort of stuff.
Is one of the Batman Owlman?
No, this is a separate universe entirely.
There's
the regular multiverse, which contains Owlman, obviously. And then there's like a flip side, which contains all these dark. So there's like a version of Batman who, when his parents were murdered, he was offered a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he kills the guy who killed his parents.
Oh, I've
and then
seen
he goes
that page.
Then he goes crazy and he just starts killing everybody.
Yeah.
And then his universe collapses and he's like, I'll kill everybody, and then he meets all the other crazy Batman. So there's like a Flash Batman, and there's a cyborg Batman called the Murder Machine.
That's a good
name.
So
it's pretty metal.
That's very metal.
Yeah.
We're talking alternate Batman stories, Mason.
Yes.
There's a story called Batman White Knight out at the moment.
Oh, I've seen the preview for that.
One issue, yeah.
What do you think of it?
I quite liked it. I like the premise. It's obviously one issue, so I'm not, you know, we'll see where it goes. But basically, it's, for those who don't know, it's a universe where this Batman got to the point where he's a big old lunatic. Like Batman Superman version where he'll just crush 40 cars and knock down a building to get the Joker just to punch him in the face.
Yeah, right.
And the Joker's like, don't you see that this is bad and what you're doing
is
bad? Like, I know I'm bad, but what you're doing
is... This is bad and you should feel bad.
Yeah, but what are you... And he's like... I bet if I was sane, I could clean up the city better than you. And Batman's like, unlikely. And then he stuffs a whole lot of sane pills into the Joker.
Right.
So the Joker turns good
and
then uses his powers of insanity and genius to fix up the city.
Right.
Which he does.
Does it come through plausibly?
Yeah, enough.
Well, I was going to say, spoilers for Metal.
Mm.
One of the tie-in one, Dawnbreaker, which is the Green Lantern one.
Yeah.
He gets the Green Lantern ring, right? And then he uses his incredible willpower to like override its no killing protocol to kill his parents' murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just starts killing everybody. And at one point, he is on the rooftop with Jim Gordon.
So he's a kid?
He's a kid, and then he grows up. And clearly, he spends like a decade plus just mowing people down. But at one point, he's on the rooftop with Jim Gordon.
Yeah,
and Jim Gordon's like, hey, Batman, maybe you should stop just killing everybody. And Batman's like, are you telling me what to do? And Gordon's like, nah,
definitely not.
Maybe don't. But then Batman's like, hey, you have a daughter, don't you? Well, now she's going to grow up without a father, and just murders him with the ring.
What?
And I'm like,
why would Jim Gordon even be on board with him to the point where they're still hanging out on the roof
together? But also, why, even if you've gone completely insane, why would you be like, my parents were murdered?
Yeah.
So I should just murder everybody else's parents.
So this metal book isn't great, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the main metal book is fine, but these tie-in books necessarily the best.
Okay,
they're interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know if I haven't read The Murder Machine yet, so. There's also one where I've seen the cover where he clearly gets Doomsday's powers for some reason.
There's also
an Aquaman one where he's Aquaman, but he's also a lady. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, Batman, that old girl, that old lady of the lake.
That lady of the lake, Bruce Wayne. I don't know what's happening there, but good on him.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I like the idea of all these alternate lunatic Batmans, though.
Yeah.
Often I find, like, I'll read the main story and then I just don't read anything else.
Yeah. Do you think Batman's relative insanity goes through in cycles?
As in he's up and down in terms of...
No, I mean in terms of publication wise. Do you think the vibe is, let's make him crazier for a bit?
Yeah, sometimes he's like, he's a guy who can do anything and he's unkillable and he's a god, and then other times he's a lunatic.
Or do you think it's we'll show people that they don't like a super crazy Batman, and then
we can have a night because
that's what they did in the, '90s with Azrael as the crazy Batman. They're like, we'll make him so crazy that people are like,
people loved it mostly.
Yeah, they're we'll just give him a regular Batman and they'll prefer it.
Original recipe. Yeah, I think they like to mix it up every now and then. Yeah, good, just to remind people of the great things that Batman does.
Throw batarang.
Throw batarangs. Why don't you throw us a bloody theme song, Mason?
Oh, yeah. For our next segment. Letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. You know, they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
Some people think we say, sound like it says lettuce.
Oh, right. Well, that makes sense.
Just to be clear, this is...
The lettuce
there
segment.
There is no lettuce segment, I was going to say. Do you think we're saying lettuce?
Yeah, is that all we've been saying? Wow.
Ah, here we go.
Nice. Well, if you want to send us some if you want to send us some lettuce, some pictures of lettuce...
Yeah, please.
Weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or tweet us.
Make sure the question or letter is written on the lettuce.
If you could, yeah.
Yeah. Or hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to read your letters?
Oh, yeah. This is from Nathan S.
Yeah.
Hello from the world famous New Mexico, USA.
Woo!
This is Nathan. He's writing this as a reminder to James to tell his hair dye story.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay. You weren't avoiding it?
No.
Because you have very grey hair.
Thank you.
Salt and pepper.
Thank you.
You're a salt and pepper girl. You're a real grey lady.
Yeah.
But when we saw you on Screen Junkies movie fights...
It was definitely darker. Well, Mason, that's what I decided to do.
Yes.
Because I got paranoid and vain, which I think speaks to my personality deep down.
Yeah.
There's a rejuvenation shampoo you can
get. Oh my goodness, really?
So it's not a dye, Mason.
Okay.
It slowly restores, so you can stop at whatever point you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you put it in and it makes it a little bit darker. It's not a dye, Mason.
Mm.
It's a rejuvenation. And I mean it slowly makes your hair darker.
Okay, like a dye would.
Yeah, like a dye would, but it's not a dye,
it's
obviously.
Not a dye, right, okay.
And I think I just took it too far.
Right.
Because you can't tell. You can't I can't notice it happening.
Yeah,
do you know what
right.
I mean? Mm-hmm. So it happened over like a month. And then I'm like, I've taken this too far.
Really?
And now I'm like, do I go backwards? Like now do I have to do this forever?
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, that's where that's at. Yeah.
It's interesting.
But it leaves a little bit of grey, which I don't mind.
Ooh,
what do you think
nice.
Of it, Mason?
Thought it looked dumb. Looked like a dumb. No, I thought it looked fine.
Good.
Mm.
Was that the only question?
That's
that
the only
asked?
Question I had.
Okay, sure, yeah. Well, Mason, I thought I'd duck that forever.
Well, no, you didn't. Really.
And everything comes back.
But people have seen photos of you with grey hair.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm not saying it's not rational, Mason.
Oh, okay. Well,
but why do I have to walk around like an old man? Why does everyone else get dark hair and I don't? That's not fair.
Because everybody else dyes it.
But you know what? The other thing is, yeah, that's true. Well, my brothers, because we're all the same.
Yeah.
We've got the grey hair. And they didn't realize because it's gradual. And then at one point, one of them realized and they were just like, it felt like it looked like a betrayal. Like they attacked
me. Oh, wow.
Like
yeah.
Like,
right.
You've thrown away everything that makes our family great.
You've gone Hollywood.
For Hollywood. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Because I think everybody goes great about 29.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then
I went way early. Well,
really?
You know that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then everybody panics.
Yeah.
And they dye their hair and they look out in the world and they go, why does everybody else have perfect dark hair?
Yeah.
But everybody else has gone grey and everybody else has panicked.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
So the idea, I think it'd almost be better for me if I was completely white, then I'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But Ted Danson
style. It's this in-between that I don't like, Mason.
Yeah, right.
I don't care for it.
Mm.
Anyway, that's where that's at.
Anyway, you look great.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah. Got some tweets here.
Oh, yeah, let's see. Here's
some
tweets.
From Oni Baku on Twitter.
Okay.
Since a DC versus Marvel movie is inevitable, why would you think it's inevitable?
No.
I think it is.
I don't think it is.
I'm not saying, well, here we go. Let me finish the tweet.
All right.
Let me finish the tweet.
All right.
Before I interrupt the tweet to ask you a question and tell you to shut up about it.
Geez. All right.
Which characters and actors will it be when this happens in, say, 30 years?
Ooh.
Hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. So they're saying 30 years from now.
Yeah.
When, say, all this has gone away and we're both dead.
Uh-huh.
But I've got beautiful, rich, black hair.
Oh, you did. That's right. You do.
Yeah. That these will cross over. I think they will. I think it's an inevitability. Even if it's not 30 years, say it's 100 years, I think it's going to happen.
Because they don't even cross the comic books anymore.
No.
Mm.
Because, but I think it's going to get to the point where they'll be looking for something else to do.
Oh, sure, right.
And so like a deal will be struck. And
right.
Dimensions will
cross. I guess potentially maybe one company will buy out the other.
Right, yeah.
Like at some point, maybe Disney and Warner Brothers will combine.
Yeah.
And then they'll just have all the properties together and they'll be like...
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, that sort of...
And they'll be like, all the movies are $50 a ticket now. What are you going to do? Go to the other one? I think not.
Well, wasn't there... There was something about Disney were going to buy Warner Brothers at one point. There was sort of, one of them was going to buy
the other one
or something. So they were going to all be owned by... Or was it Apple was going to buy Disney? Which
I don't know.
To whatever.
It's probably Comcast were going to buy everyone.
Who knows? But yeah. So I think even if there isn't going to be one global Amazon that owns everything, I think that... Even if they're separate companies.
Dutch boy. That's what they're going to call it.
Yeah, I think it will happen eventually. But the follow-up question was, what actors will be in this movie in 30 years?
Oh, I don't know. In 30 years? Who are some good kid actors now? I have no idea, honestly.
Oh, I forgot to mention this earlier. Ty Simpkins is going to be in Avengers 4. He was in Iron Man 3.
Oh, so he's the kid from Iron Man 3.
He'll be like 16 when that rolls around.
Okay, 16, right.
17, so. Do you think they're going to make him kid Iron Man?
No. In what capacity? Does it say at all?
No, it doesn't say what capacity. It could just be a funeral. It could be Tony Stark's funeral.
Yeah, that's true.
If he
yeah.
dies. Mm-hmm. I don't
yeah.
know.
So no, it doesn't say as a main role. He could just be in it.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So there you go. Yeah. So do you think there's any chance that there'll be like actors still around who'll be like, they'll get back a 70, he wouldn't be 70, be 80. Like your old Robert Downey Jr. and he's back as Tony Stark for one
they
more.
They might get a Tom Holland
yeah,
as an older Peter Parker,
true.
Maybe.
They could de-age to the point where they won't need actors in 30 years.
That's true,
they can
yeah.
literally bring back anybody.
Anybody, that's true. Maybe in 30 years, maybe that's the key. It's like,
yeah.
because what do you think that maybe, oh, I don't know, like do you think they'll start sneaking in likeness rights things into people's contracts? Like we can use you in 20 years if we want.
If they haven't already, then
yeah,
yes.
Right.
But I would say from... Everybody from Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
After Robert Downey Jr. probably has signed a thing that says we can just put your face in whatever.
Yeah, because you see, if it's a case of we're going to put Tom Holland in the future.
Yeah.
You don't want to see a Marvel versus DC where it's an old Spider-Man and an old Batman and an old Superman or what have you. You want the prime characters,
yeah.
the characters in their prime of their lives to be fighting each
That's
other.
That's exactly right. So unless you do like a dimensional jump to a different cast, but they're the same characters. But the other, like it's different than say Star Wars because the Star Wars universe can move forward and you can introduce new characters and they can be endearing. With comics, it seems to be that a lot of the time they go back to the status quo. Like Tony Stark will always be Iron Man.
Yes.
You know, I was going to say Henry Cavill will be Superman, but Clark Kent will always be Superman.
Yes, that's true.
In some form or another.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it is weird, yeah, to, like, what are they going to do? Different younger actors playing different roles? Is going to be son of Superman? Like, if they kept the same actors, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of getting that generation's actors to do a different story.
Oh, that'd be weird. But I guess
no, sorry, that like in 30 years to be like, this is the new Superman, this is the new actor.
Yeah,
you know
right.
I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm.
Good question.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It wasn't mine.
Good question.
Oni Baku.
I've
got another question here, though.
I'm ready for it.
This is from Tristan Taylor on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Here we go. We've got eight comic book movies coming in 2018. Which will be the best? Which will be the worst?
Oh, hashtag let's rank them right now.
Yeah, I got the list here. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
How do you want to do this?
Say one.
Black Panther.
Number one.
New Mutants.
It has to be because it's...
okay. New Mutants.
Hang on, these are being most...
Are you ranking them in the order they come out?
Yes. No, are we ranking in terms of quality or in terms of money making? Let's just do one.
Let's say quality.
Let's say quality. Okay, yeah, Black Panther. Yeah, so far, number one.
Number one, okay. New Mutants.
That's moved to two.
Yes. Avengers Infinity War.
I'm moving that above New Mutants. I think it's going to be Black Panther, Avengers, New Mutants.
I think it's going to be better than Black Panther. Deadpool
2. Oh, no, you're right. Okay, let's switch him. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
We don't have to agree, Mason,
no,
on everything. We're
gonna, no, you just made me think that it's...
Okay, well, because everybody's in it, even the Black Panther.
Yeah, and Black Panther might be... Again, it might be a phase one movie. It
That's
looks
right.
great.
But you never
I hope
know.
It's
going
to... Do you think... Thus far, we haven't seen the Black Panther as being a much of a character. You know what I mean?
A much of a character.
Not a much of a character.
Yeah,
you know
so
what I mean?
So, like, well, he's only been in Civil War.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen any kind of big performance out of him in any of these trailers.
Well,
really.
No. But the thing is, he's a great actor, so it'll be fine. You know what I mean? Chadwick Boseman, he's all over it.
That's
but
true.
But I think that's also what this movie is for. You know?
Yeah.
But
true.
I think, yeah, like Avengers 4, or Avengers, sorry, Infinity War, Avengers 3, It could just be a standard kind of Age of Ultron situation.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it's more the culmination of 10 years.
Yeah, I think they've learned their lesson. Yeah. I think they've learned their lesson from Age of Ultron that we don't want to see. If they're just going to throw a thousand robots, alien robots at us, that's going to be awful.
Yeah.
I think they're, based on that weirdly angled, pirated, leaked cam footage that we saw of the Infinity War trailer, I think they're going to...
It's hell for bloody leather.
It's hell for leather, and they're gonna, you know, they're doing bits where Thanos is pulling a moon out of the sky and throwing it at people and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be a ripper on time. So Avengers, Black Panther,
New Mutants, Deadpool 2,
above New Mutants,
agreed. Incredibles 2,
I'm gonna put that at 3.
I agree. I was also going to say 3. Does that count? It's animated?
Yeah,
sure,
totally.
Why not? Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm going to put
4.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to put it...
I think they've learned lessons from that as
well. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. But, I think, you know how... You know what I think has happened here is that we had this... We've had a whole bunch of bust-ups this year about directors who were trying to go in their own direction and then being turfed.
Yeah.
And I think... It's maybe actually gone a bit the other way.
With your Taika Waititi's and
whatnot. I think they've gone, actually, if we keep saying, do the Marvel formula, do the DC formula, don't deviate from it, the producers are going to control everything.
Yeah.
I think people are going, these movies are kind of dull now.
Yeah.
You know, because any genre movie, if you just keep showing the same tropes, people get bored of them.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
I think they've maybe gone the other way and going, actually... Give us a little more director vision on this.
Give us some hell for leather, je ne sais quoi.
That's right, hell for leather, je ne sais quoi.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, okay, what about Venom?
I'm going
to say last.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to say second last.
I haven't seen anything, so
I'm putting New Mutants very low.
Yeah.
But it's...
I like what they're doing,
but
the trailer's
not great.
I like
the concept, but it doesn't seem great yet.
And that being said, we haven't seen the Venom trailer, so I don't know. Dark Phoenix... Movie
bottom. I'm putting
bottom,
Dark Phoenix at the bottom
as well. Animated Miles Morales movie.
I don't think I'm putting that at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm not.
I
really
don't care.
Keen about, yeah, I don't.
Lucky work, New Mutants.
And
you saved yourselves.
Finally, Aquaman.
I'm
gonna roll the dice here.
Yes,
I think there's a very good chance that I'm wrong, but I like James Wan.
Yeah,
and I think this could be the best.
He's Fast and Furious guy, right?
Yeah, but he also did Saw and. He's Insidious and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
I think that this could be number one.
The best one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to look like a real idiot if it's
Yeah,
no
you are.
Good.
I'm going to put
this world that they're building that they seem... and I like the casting and like the stuff that I've seen I'm really into. Yeah.
I'm going to put it above... I'm going to put it below Deadpool. Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So that's our list.
Yeah.
We don't know what we said, but
if somebody could arrange that, that would be perfect.
No, for me, it's Aquaman, Avengers Infinity War. Those are the ones that I think will be the best.
Yeah, right.
The worst will probably be Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, absolutely. They haven't, for some reason, they haven't learned their lesson.
I didn't even hate at the time, but the more
I hated
think
about
it, the
more
like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We did it. That's the bloody show for this week, Mason. I hope you can wrap us up
in the most
fitting way possible.
Okay, let's see. If you want to say hi to us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com and Facebook and Twitter and Bandcamp. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
You can also go to @TheWeeklyPlanet. That's our friend Rob Collings.
Yes.
He knows all the stuff and he's a very helpful man. You can also go to Planet Broadcasting Great Mates, which is our Facebook group.
Yeah, have a good
on
old
Facebook.
Chat.
Our friend Andrew Levin's put that together. It's got it's got more than 1,000 members already. So
really? More than?
1,001,
you say?
Once I checked and it was 1,035 earlier, so that's
excellent.
Very good.
And you're in there?
I'm in there.
To be in there.
You'll be there at some point. We're just, if you want to chat any Planet Broadcasting related topics, you want to talk about our show, you want to talk about other shows, you want to recommend other shows.
You want to put in a bloody
There's a thread that's like, what's your favorite episodes of all the other podcasts? You want to put in a recommendation there?
The other thing is there's a Halloween themed t-shirt on our Tee Public store.
Oh, really?
Which is us in the Scooby-Doo van.
Oh, yeah,
which,
that one's great,
Ethan
yeah.
Taylor put together. So that, I mean, it's Halloween's coming up, Mason.
That's right. You want to be prepared. You want to be in your costume as a podcast
fan, as
someone who loves podcasts so much. The most terrifying thing in the world. Someone who loves podcasts so much.
Ooh.
They want to purchase the merchandise. They want to purchase the merch.
Purchase the merch, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop saying baby. I think it's done. It's one of
those.
Doing it.
Yeah, I say it all the time now. Even, it's one of those things I started saying ironically, like bro, and now I say it unironically. All the time,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty great.
Anything else?
Let's see. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, chucking a buck.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little extra commentary coming up soon. Speaking of Bandcamp, would you say what it is?
Yes. It'll be Suicide Squad.
It's Suicide Squad. We did it the other night.
That's right.
And I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yes.
In the sense that I didn't hate it.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just fun to hang out with your mates and...
I don't think that will be ready necessarily at the start of this week. It'll be either early next week because I got a bunch of stuff I got to do.
Okay, right.
And also we're seeing Thor Ragnarok tomorrow.
Oh.
Our episode... Well, I haven't got your ticket yet.
I was going to say you haven't got me a ticket
hopefully,
yet.
We're both seeing Thor
Ragnarok.
They're
going to come through.
So there'll be a review for that up really soon if you just listen to this as it comes out. But we're not going to do Thor Ragnarok next week because it's not out everywhere in the world. We'll do it the week after.
Yeah,
but
nice.
Next week I'm thinking Stranger Things is out on the 27th.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do some bloody Stranger Things stuff.
Yeah,
so
nice.
That'll be exciting.
Cool.
Cool.
Let's see. We've also got an Amazon affiliate link in the episode description.
Yep.
Click through. Buy your regular Amazon stuff. You want to buy something
Stranger
weird.
Things.
Buy Stranger Things. I bought a book the other day.
Did you? Did you use our
yes,
link?
I did, yeah.
Good.
That's right, the perfect
Give
crime.
Me the money, Mason,
oh,
now.
No.
I want the cash.
What else? Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for the themes. Thank you to everybody who listens and tells somebody else about the show.
That's the
we
most
really
important
appreciate
thing,
it.
I think, yeah.
Because we have a... Otherwise, it's just two idiots in a box talking about the movie Geostorm. Yeah, it was a good time. A good time with it.
No,
I'll be honest with you, I loved it.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, it was good. You're right.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, though.
Thanks, guys. Grab that
week.
Gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.